Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary live cynical series. And this is Crossing the Exile as we talk about the journey. Jesus speaks about the journey. Our Blessed Lady speaks about the journey and how important the journey is. It's not just getting to our final destination. Of course, that's the end goal. That's the end all purpose. But Jesus explains to us it's very important every step of the way we take. And basically, it's being on the road with Mary. So we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. I thought we would take a supplication for today, the supplication that's found right here in Volume 36, August 21st, 1938. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My will, living in the creature who is crossing the exile, is as though operative and ruling in the house of the creature, which is more amazing. And this is why she forms for me a more pleasing enchantment, which charms me and holds such attraction for my gaze as to captivate me, to fix my pupils upon her without being able to move them. Ah, you do not know how necessary this enchantment is in these times in which so many evils will come. End quote. Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, it's Jesus explaining to us how important this journey is and how he fixes his gaze on us. Remember, the gaze is such an important word because I remember two instances where we hear about the gaze. We know that Adam's disobedience was caused likely to, he took his gaze off of God. And that lack of gaze, that lack of connection, was his downfall. We also know that Peter, when he walked on water, was doing fine until he took his gaze off Jesus and started looking around and saying, "Oh my goodness, this is terrible." Again, taking our gaze off God is probably not the good thing to do. But the beautiful thing is that we learn that, we understand that, and we've had people that have gone before us that have made these mistakes, if we'll call them mistakes, and we know what not to do. Poor Adam, he had nobody that went before him that made mistakes, that didn't do things properly, that he could say, "I can't do that. I'll definitely not emulate that. I could do that," but he had nobody to compare it to. So he was just basically, he was on his own. But now Jesus says, there's no way that we're going to fail if we bind ourselves with Louisa, because she has Jesus, she has Mary, she has all the saints, she has everything God's given us for the last 6,000 years, specifically the last 2,000 years in the church, the sacraments, the mystics, the church doctors, the fathers, everything. Jesus explains, I think it's in Volume 14, he explains all of this was just given to us as a means, as a way in which we can achieve the ultimate goal, the ultimate purpose, which is to go back to the prelapsarianary of Adam, to go back to the beginning, the way it was designed by God. Again, God knew this was going to happen. He had a plan B, but really plan B is just going back to plan A. God never loses. God's never wrong, unlike us. So it's beautiful. It really is. And we should be very, very fortunate about that. We've got a great feast day coming up too, this Friday, the feast of the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception of Mary. And we learn a lot from Mary, of course, because God could not take his gaze off of our Blessed Mother. And just like he says here, this is why she forms, we can, during our journey on this road, form a more pleasing enchantment, which charms God and holds God's attraction in his gaze as to captivate him to fix his pupils on us. He's watching. He tells Louise he's spying on us, but not in a negative way, not in a nefarious way. He's actually waiting for an opportunity to give us more grace. That's exactly what he says. If you knew how necessary this enchantment is, he before he was moving God, that was he said the best way to receive this gift is to move God to give him a reason to give this gift in increased capacity. That was the greatest way to receive it. But now, because of the so many evils, as Jesus calls it, are to come. He needed a way. He needed, because again, he's a just judge. He's a just giver. He needed for us to captivate him in a different way so that he can give us an enormous amount of grace, and grace is necessary for these times. And that's when the enchantment. So again, to move God is one thing. To enchant God is something so much greater, because the moving God is part of the enchantment. So God's raised the bar so he can legitimately, honestly, and keeping to his justice, give us what we deserve. He keeps raising the bar for us, not for himself. And moving God, I had this also somewhere here with the move, and we talked about moving God before, but I just don't know where it is right now. But moving God here it is. Volume 23, November 27th, 1927. It just says here, but when the Queen of Heaven came, we're talking about our Blessed Lady, who possessed the fullness of the divine life, everything she asked for the good of the peoples, moved God, conquered God, and made God decide. And in spite of the evils that were present, the eternal word came upon earth by means of she, Our Lady, who already possessed him as he formed the whole of her life. With the fullness of this divine life, she was able to move God, and so came the good of redemption. What all others together were not able to obtain, she obtained. The sovereign queen who had conquered, first within herself, her creator, and the fullness of all the goods that she was asking for others, and being the conqueror, she had the virtue of being able to impetrate and give the good that she possessed. End quote. That's really important too, because God, when we ask for this gift on behalf of all souls, past, present, and future, of course, that's our intention. And God may grant it just as it is. But he also says that in order for us to allow God or to participate in giving this gift to others, again, it's not us giving it, it's God, but God being moved to do so. He says, for us to do that, we must first possess it. He says, yes, we can ask for it without possessing it, and it has merit to whatever value. Again, of course, that's God's discretion. But he says it's much different if we possess it. It's much easier for us to give it away. And if you think about that, let's just take it a silly analogy. Let's say we have an automobile and we want to give this automobile to our cousin because our cousin's really in need of a car. Well, if we own the car, it's ours. We have the title. We can do as we please. We can give it to him, to her, to anyone. We can sell it. We can do anything. We own it. But if we lease it, we are using the car. It's as if we own it, but we're not free to give it away without doing a couple things. We've got to make sure that we make good on the note, on the loan. We've got to make sure the insurance company's informed. We've got some housekeeping to do. We're not as free to give that car that's leased or has a loan as we do if we own the car free and clear. So God says, possess this gift and you may give it. We still may be able to move God to give it to all souls without possessing it. But again, if we can achieve the greater, that's what God is looking for us to strive for. So I just think that's incredible. So yeah, the fullness of everything God wants to give us, it's all here. Because the necessity in these times in which so many evils will come. And I think that's where we're actually starting. We scratched the surface last week, maybe in the last 2 weeks, on the chastisements. You know, Jesus didn't like to speak about chastisements when Luis was around because she didn't want chastisements for the public. She would rather take all the chastisements on herself. And knowing that she didn't want her brothers and sisters chastised, God didn't want to be in a situation where, he couldn't say no to Louisa, but he knew what he had to do, so he would sort of disappear for a while, as he had to do what he has to do. But last week, we ended with this, and okay, we'll begin with this right now. Again, we went through this on March 10th, 1899. All of this is coming from volume two. We're working off volume two, which is actually volume one, but that's for another day. So the Lord showed her many chastisements. And actually, Father Annuzzi has done a really good job. Does anyone have Father Annuzzi's dissertation? We methodically go through this on Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. It's called the Divine Will ebook series. So we just take the electronic version, the ebook version of Father Annuzzi's dissertation to go through it. And in this dissertation, which Father set out to, actually what he did was he set out to prove that all of Louise's writings, everything that she transcribed from our Blessed Lord and our Blessed Lady was grounded in our, and is grounded in our Catholic faith. And he successfully defended that. He did that through the Pontifical Gregorian University of Rome, which many popes have gone through, which is authorized by the Holy See. So when the Gregorian University, the Pontifical Gregorian University of Rome says, yes, we accept it, they're accepting it, approving it on behalf of the Holy See. So it has abrogation, which is the scholastic term for approval. So everything is approved. All 36 writings are sort of condensed into 700 pages here. Father's given us a summary, and then he drives us into the volumes where we may corroborate and show where Father Annuzzi came up with this thesis, with this understanding. And what's great about this also is we also know that Archbishop Beccheri, the late Archbishop Beccheri, he had mentioned that all who are journeying, all who are reading or listening to the Book of Heaven, that they be guided by a priest for any theological questions that they may have. Now, that did not mean we cannot gather. That does not mean we cannot cynical, we cannot study, we cannot discuss it. All that is actually encouraged. It's encouraged by the late Archbishop, or was encouraged by the late Archbishop. But what he did say was you must have a priest available for any theological questions that we may have, for a clarification of any ambiguities, any you know, differences of opinion that we may have. Because again, if we're going out into the world with some wrong information, it's going to be, could be damaging to the divine will. So so he says, have that priest available. Unfortunately, it's not only difficult enough just to find a priest to help out spiritually, but then to find a divine will priest that understands the writings and is able to guide us on this. I mean, it's near impossible, but it's out there. And some groups are really, really fortunate to have some really, really great priests. But with this dissertation, we're achieving that. We're actually journeying every day with Father Annuzzi because he's the one that wrote this book. He's the one that gives us the summary. So we cannot be wrong with the summation because the summation has the approval. So everything here, I mean, it still allows us to grow on our own pace or at our own pace also. Because remember, we're all cheerleaders. You know, Father Annuzzi, yes, they're teaching, but they're cheerleading. The ultimate teachers of this gift are our Blessed Lord and our Blessed Lady. But we may find a lot and we may learn a lot from all those involved as well. So again, perfect perfect vehicle. I think there's three or four cynical groups that use this as their crux, as their basis. Again, you can't go wrong. You're listening to the Archbishop. You're being obedient, and nobody can accuse you of being on the wrong road if you just stick to the summary here, and then just, you know, our own understanding of it within the context and limits and boundaries of the correct understanding. Because again, it's easy sometimes to go off the rails, and it's happened in the past. It's been detrimental to the cause. At times, some of which happened 20 years ago that still has not been rectified, especially with EWTN. So, but again, all in God's time, everything will work out. But in this dissertation, before I went on the sales pitch, and by the way, you can buy this dissertation on Father Annuzzi's website. I think it's livinginthedivineworld.org. It's a hard copy, soft copy, and an ebook version. And, He's not making money on the books of Father Annuzzi. He's just basically charging what he needs to recoup so that he may print additional books. But It's probably in around the $40-$45 range. But again, this is something we should all have. If somebody wants this dissertation and truly can't afford it this time, send an email to us here at Mary's Hill, maryshill@queenofthedivineworld.org, and we'll do our best to get you a copy of it with no charge. So Father wants this in everyone's hands. He really does. And he's just a trooper with that. So getting back to page 264 and 265, as we talk about here, the Lord showing many chastisements in March 10th, 1899. On page 264 and 265, Father has plucked out places where Jesus speaks about the chastisements. And it's nice to know, again, not to dwell on them, not to become frightened of them, but it's nice to know what to expect because as we see it happening, we say, okay, well, we knew this. So we can prepare as best we can. Again, spiritual preparation, I believe, is the best. As far as refuges are concerned, the first and foremost refuge, in my opinion, and many other opinions, is the refuge of the blue mantle of Our Lady. That's the first place we need to run. Not to hide, but we need to run for protection. She, through her son, will guide us. Who will have to accumulate this? Who will have to accumulate that? Who will have to set up housing for this? Who will have to do this? All we have to do is go to her, and our Lord will be with us each and every part, step of the way. So this is what it says. I'll try to go a little slowly here, but it's hard because I'm not used to speaking slowly. But on the bottom of 262, it says, quote, this is Father Nuzzi's notes, concerning the many chastisements Louisa beheld in mystical visions that will purge the earth and purify mankind, noteworthy is, and here we go, fire. Fire will come from the center of the earth. And that can be found in volume 2, August 2nd, 1899. Also in volume 8. January 2nd, 1909. Also in volume 14, October 27th, 1922. Fire will also come from the sky. That's found in volume 14, September 1st, 1922. It's also found in volume 12. November 2nd, 1917. Also in volume 6, October 20th, 1905. Also in volume 11, April 3rd, 1915. Again, that's concerning the fire from the sky. And that fire of the sky will overwhelm mankind and make him believe that God exists. And to make him believe that God exists can be found in volume 2, October 7th, 1899. Then it goes on to say, fire will strike evildoers. But those who are good and live a life of simplicity will be spared. Now, these are Jesus' words. These are not Father Inuzzi's words. These are Jesus' words. They explain to us what to expect, what's coming. It can be mitigated, but it's not going to be alleviated. Fire will strike evildoers, but those who are good and live a life of simplicity will be spared. That's August 10th, 1899. That's volume 2. The fire that descends upon earth will damage crops and man's nourishment. And that's found in volume 4, April 22nd, 1901. It's also found in volume 4, May 22nd, 1902. The damaged crops and man's nutrition will flare up in certain countries. That can be found in volume 3, July 30th, 1900. That goes on to say, further purging the earth, again, it's Jesus speaking now, further purging the earth and man is the sword that represents wars. This can be found in volume 4, March 22nd, 1901. So further purging the earth and man is the sword that represents wars and revolutions. And the word revolutions can be found in volume 16, March 22nd, 1924. We continue. The united forces of fire and blood, found in volume 11, May 25th, 1915. The united forces of fire, blood, and water. And water can be found in also volume 14, April 6th, 1922, as well as volume 15, July 14th, 1923. So united forces of fire, blood, water, and wind will spill out of their boundaries to destroy a great part of humanity. Okay, let me read that. So the united forces of fire, blood, water, and wind will spill out of their boundaries to destroy a great part of humanity and bury man. And that can be found in volume 7, April 17th, 1906. Could also be found in volume 11, December 5th, 1916. Also in volume 16, March 22nd, 1924. As well as volume 16, April 8th, 1924. That talks about forces of fire, blood, water, and winds will spill out of their boundaries to destroy a great part of humanity and bury man. While those who live in the divine will have dominion over these elements. I'll repeat that. While those who live in the divine will have dominion over these elements, who have control over these elements, who can say wind stop, water cease, fire go out. Well, all those who live in the divine will have dominion over these elements. That may be found in volume 13, January 3rd, 1922. I think it's on to say, Jesus speaking again, a star of black fire and blood that appears to represent a comet. Repeat that again. A star of black fire and blood that appears to represent a comet. C-O-M-E-T. That can be found in volume 2, March 18th, 1899. So a star, black fire, and blood that appears to represent a comet. Peals of thunder and lightning. And that can be found in volume 2, August 10th, 1899. Peals of thunder, lightning, and a terrible hail. And the hail may be found in volume 2, March 13th, 1899. You may also find that in volume 3, July 9th, 1900. Then Jesus goes on to say, earthquakes that annihilate entire cities. I'll repeat that. Earthquakes that annihilate entire cities. That may be found in volume 13. December 22nd, 1921. Also in volume 17, August 9th, 1924. As well as volume 19, September 5th, 1926. So again, Jesus says, earthquakes that annihilate entire cities and swallow up mountains and men. I'll repeat that. Earthquakes that annihilate entire cities and swallow up mountains and men. And that may be found in Volume 7, April 17th, 1906. And swallow up mountains and men, thereby causing a good part to die. Thereby causing a good part of mankind to die. That's found in Volume 6, June 19th, 1904. Volcanoes that inundate countries. That can be found in Volume 2, March 18th, 1899. Jesus continues, sudden deaths and contagious diseases. That may be found in Volume 12, October 16th, 1918. Continuing, Jesus speaking, as a result of said chastisements, the Vatican will be shaken in part. And that may be found in Volume 4, October 10th, 1900. So as a result of said chastisements, the Vatican will be shaken in part. But in the end, the nations will turn back to God. And all purpose. Again, God's permissible will never allow anything negative to occur unless God will bring about a greater good, is a perfect example. But in the end, the nations will turn back to God. And you may find that in Volume 12, October 16th, 1918. I hope you got those days. I was trying to go as slowly as I can, fighting back my impulse to do it fast. But if you need, just send me an email. I'll send you an email of all the dates and volumes. But again, it's on page 264 and 265 in the dissertation if you have that. So the chastisements are coming. Two-thirds of humanity will cease to exist. That's a lot of people. Quote, while those who live in the divine will have dominion over these elements. Jesus tells us also something very optimistic too on page 415 of the dissertation. I think it's 415. Let me see if I can find it quickly. I have a great job of digressing here. 415. It's a footnote. This comes from Volume 11, May 18th, 1915. I said that too fast. Volume 11, May 18th. 1915. And Jesus speaking to us through Louisa. Quote, the divine justice imposes chastisements, but neither these nor God's enemies will get close to those souls who live in my divine will. I'm going to repeat that. Jesus speaking, quote, the divine justice imposes chastisements, but neither these chastisements nor God's enemies will get close to those souls who live in my divine will. Know that I will have regard for the souls who live in my will and for the places where these souls reside. End quote. Wow. An opportunity to please God at the highest level while saving our brothers and sisters and in the end saving ourselves and our families as well. an unselfish way of saving everyone, putting it out first to others and then ending it with ourselves. Then he goes on to say at the end of that, volume 11, May 18, 1915, Jesus says, quote, "I place the souls who live completely in my will on earth in the same condition as the blessed in heaven." And this is our opportunity during our journey on earth, our walk into the exile, to walk with Mary. Again, Jesus says, "I place the souls who live completely in my will, who live completely in my will on earth, in the same condition as the blessed in heaven. Therefore, live in my will and fear nothing." End quote. Father Celso is right. There's nothing to be nervous about. "I will have regard for those souls who live in my divine will. The enemies, nor the chastisements, will get close to them. I will have regard for the souls who live in my will and for the places where these souls reside." I mean, that's pretty good hint as to, you know, where do we reside? We usually reside with our families, physically and spiritually. So is Jesus saying there that through us, he'll not only protect us, but those whom we love? Is this part of that when God says, "You do what I want and I'll do what you want"? Could be. I think it's very enlightening. Coming, it's probably going to be very bad. But in the end, God wins. And if we stay faithful to God, we win too. We're on the winning team. So that's March 10th, 1899. Again, we just talked about it, probably in greater detail. The Lord shows Luis the many chastisements. Okay, so March 13th, 1899. Again, this is all in volume two. "All creation speaks of the love of God for man and teaches him how he must love him." So, oh, by the way, we're without Maureen this evening, who's celebrating a birthday with one of her siblings and families. And Ken, it's probably very busy because he has a doubleheader live radio on Wednesday. So we understand when he can't make it. Okay, I'll bring this up. So you're stuck with me. A pity on you. Okay, so Luis is speaking. "This morning, beloved Jesus did not make himself seen in the usual way, all affability and sweetness, but severe. I felt my mind in a sea of confusion and my soul so afflicted and annihilated, especially because of the chastisements that I saw in these past days." Again, we just took a glimpse of some of the chastisements that she witnessed, and these were appalling to her. When she saw others suffer, it was greater and more difficult for Luisa than if she suffered herself. That's how much she cared about everybody. But again, it was important for her to see this. Just like it was important for his mother to see him die, be crucified, only to rise again. "In seeing him with that appearance, I did not dare to tell him anything." You know, that appearance, that he was severe. She called it severe. He must be very stern or very serious. I did not dare to tell him anything. "We looked at each other, but in silence." That must have been great. "Oh God, what pain." "Then in one instant, I also saw the confessor and Jesus sending forth a ray of intellectual light." Again, the communication, intellectual light. God only uses words because he brings himself down to our level so we can understand him. And even then we can't understand him. I don't have a command of the English language myself. A ray of intellectual light. And this ray spoke of these words. Charity. Charity is nothing but an outpouring of the divine being. And this outpouring I have diffused over the whole creation in such a way that all creation speaks of the love I have for man. And all creation teaches him how he must love me, from the largest being to the most tiny little flower in the field. I don't have the quotes on charity, but Jesus speaks about charity. And you'd be really surprised about the virtue of charity and how important it is. Actually, he states, I'm going to paraphrase as best I can. He states that charity is the fuel, is the mechanism that powers and propels all other virtues. It's also what binds all other virtues together, combining them. And he also says that any virtue exercised without charity is a false virtue. So nothing is real without charity. I guess that's that upright intention, doing it for God, doing it for our loved ones. Love God above all, love yourself as your neighbor. See, God means everything he says. Everything that he's talked about has come to fruition, or is shortly going to come to fruition. Charity. And we can all exercise charity. Charity is not how much money we give necessarily. That's a big part of it. It's usually what we think about when we think about charity. Charity comes in a myriad of different ways. And any of us, all of us, could be charitable with our prayers, with our prayer intentions. Doesn't matter how much money we have or don't have, whether we can walk, whether we have hair, whether we have a job, doesn't matter. Education, no, none of that matters. We can all be charitable with our prayers for one another. Yes, those who have been blessed with financial rewards, they've got it actually more difficult because God, you know, money's not bad, but it's a great test. It's a difficult test to do good. I'll say do great things with it. So when God blesses us in abundance financially, that's not for us to take that for granted or to squander that, but rather how we use it. And what is the driving force behind all the virtues? Charity. I don't think I have to explain more of that. I think of that often. It continues here. Are we on time? Okay. See, S-E-E, it says to man, With my sweet fragrance and by always facing the sky, I try to send in homage to my creator. Repeat that again. I didn't get that the first time I read it. See, it says to man, with my sweet fragrance and by always facing the sky, I try to send in homage to my creator. Sounds like charity in its greatest form. Thanksgiving, gratitude to God. It's probably the most charitable thing we can do. You too, let all your actions be fragrant. Let them be holy. Let them be pure. Do not offend my creator with the bad odor of your actions. Oh, please, oh, man, The little flower repeats to us, don't be so senseless as to keep your eyes fixed on the earth, but rather raise them up to heaven. See, up there is your destiny, your fatherland. Up there is my creator and yours who awaits you. See, charity is going to help us make it through this journey through the exile. It's like being in a desert and having very little water and sharing the water with those around us before consuming it ourselves. And trusting God that water will be found somewhere, even on a desert. And lo and behold, the oasis is not far away. We may be living in the desert, but God is constantly following us with an oasis. He's there to give us a spiritual drink, a spiritual fanning, a spiritual pick-me-up, so that we may continue this journey. Because again, it's through this journey every day we can succeed. Succeed in what? Well, succeed in being steadfast. Succeed in not taking our gaze off God, not being demoralized with the way the world is or what the world is doing or how it's doing it or what it's not doing. To go through that day with the ability to suffer and love God unblemished. Again, he has a greater love. He said this before. I think he says in scripture, those on earth through this journey is enchanting God, greater than moving God, where God cannot take his gaze, his pupils off of us. It's incredible. He goes on to say, the water that flows continuously before our eyes also says to us, see, I have come out of darkness, and I must flow and run so much until I go and bury myself in the place from which I came. You too, O man, run. But run into the bosom of God from which you came. Oh, please, I beg you, do not run along the wrong paths, the paths which lead to the precipice. Otherwise, woe to you. I like that word run. Our Lady uses that too. Does that mean physically run? Could, but I interpret that as do it now, do it fast, quickly. Run into the bosom of God. How do you run into the bosom of God? Well, you have to go through Mary. You go. That's why we say if you run to the protection of the blue mantle of our Blessed Lady, you are running into the bosom of God, because that's exactly where she is. It's where she's always been. Incredible. And it's all here. Every day. Actually, the greater the trials we endure, or that we face, I should say, the greater. The greater. The more problems we have, and we remain calm, cool, and collected until the outside disturbance subsides, because we recognize that nothing has changed from within. It's not easy. That's virtually impossible without the divine will. But God is oozing all over us. We got to stop wiping ourselves of his ooze. We have to keep it. It's a shell of protection. And it begins with Our Lady. Redemption began with Our Lady. When she said yes. So what do you do? Say yes every day. Wake up. Okay, I'm going back into the road. And it's greater than the Appalachian Trail. Going back into the desert. We're going into exile. We'll be there as long as we need to. But we know, we are sure that God will bring us to the promised land. So that's exactly where the road of exile goes to, the promised land. Thanks be to God for everything he's done for us and for allowing us to recognize to a little extent what he has done, to recognize his love, to see a little bit as to what, how this picture is playing out. This is the greatest script that can ever be. Why? Because it was written and created, directed and produced by God. Nobody else does it. Nobody. We're never alone. Thanks be to God. That's it for today. Hopefully we'll have Maureen and Ken back next week. 11 a.m. tomorrow morning, you can join Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will on the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the Divine Will. That's 11 a.m. Eastern Time tomorrow on Radio Maria. We'll send the link out again this evening, but it's on any of the probably emails that you've received over the last several months. RadioMaria.us, and just click on the Listen Now button. Okay. God bless, and thanks be to God. Always, now and forever. Bye-bye.